your nominating form that your grandfather came to Harford County in the 1800s.
Yes, my grandfather, my great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather?
My grandfather was born here in Harford County.
Mm.
And I think he came from Virginia, my great-grandfather.
Right from Robert E. Lee, Elmer?
Yeah, and his name, my grandfather's name was Robert E. Lee.
Oh.
And at that time, it wasn't too much work around here for blacks, but farm.
Mm-hmm.
And when my great-grandfather come around here, it was slavery time. They had slaves right here in Harford County, in Maryland.
Yeah.
And finally, after his son was named Edward M. Lee, and he stayed with his father, which was my grandfather, until my grandfather got sick, and I think it was on it was in 1902, and he died May the 31st, 1902.
Hmm.
And when he died, my father had two brothers, I think three sisters. So that left him to take care of them. They all were younger than my father.
Right.
So at the time, before my father died, he was working on the railroad. My grandfather died, he was working on the railroad. So at that time, you could go on the railroad. You didn't have to register up or nothing. If you were 16, or if your father worked on a railroad at that time, well, he could take you out there. He'd sign, and you'd do the work. And he could collect your money, but he wouldn't, because he was left to take care of the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, my father went on a railroad in 1895. And at that time, it wasn't, in this part, it was only about three or four blacks worked on the railroad. Most of them were Indians. Some of them was Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
And his name went on the roster because he was number one on this whole district. That meant from Washington at that time until to the end of Maryland, which would be Elkton, Maryland.
Mm.
And he stayed there for, I think he put 52 years on the railroad.
Mm. What kind of work did he do?
He did regular track work.
Mm-hmm.
Putting in rail, ties, and at that time, they worked 10 hours a day.
That's some hard work.
That's what it was. And he never missed a day.
Mm.
Even if they had a funeral, he wouldn't go unless it was in the evening, and he'd take a half a day. That is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they had horse and buggies. There wasn't a whole lot of automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people had automobiles. So wherever his job was, he had to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And many a day, he has walked from here to Aberdeen, which is about 8 miles.
Mm-hmm.
That's to work.
And then work all day.
Work all day. He was making, they were getting, I think at that time, they was getting 25 cents an hour. And at that time, they were working 10 hours a day. And he would walk to work because he didn't have a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd walk, work, then walk from work. And he never missed a day. Sometime he would get up in the mornings, 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Get his lunch and everything, and he'd start off walking to Aberdeen. At that time, it was no Route 40.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Route 7, but it was a dirt road. And he and a few more men around here, they would get together and they'd walk up there, take the time, walk to Aberdeen. And then they'd go to work, and they'd work all 10 hours. And then at that time, they were working at 6 days a week, at 25 cents an hour. So he worked there for, when did he come off? He come off the railroad in 19...
He spent 70 years there.
No, 57. He put 57 years there, and the reason why he came off is he didn't want to leave then, but he got sick, and my sisters and them questioned him. He had been sick for a long time, but he wouldn't say anything about it. He kept on working. So the only way they could get him to leave the railroad, they called a supervisor and told him to send him to the doctor and examine him.
Mm-hmm.
And
when they...
Okay. He came off the railroad because he was sick?
Uh-huh.
What was wrong?
At that time, he had something in his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It was something like a hernia or something. In the meantime, my mother was sick at the same time.
Mm.
Oh, he took off time for that. And after that, he was off about 4 or 5 years, and he died.
Mm.
So after, what? In the meantime, while he was working there, he had built a home, had property and everything. At that time, most black people around here owned their own property.
Mm-hmm. Is it this property around here?
Yes. They owned, at that time, they owned from the corner up here, which would be Otter Point Road,
mm-hmm.
clean down to Long Bar, all this belonged to black. And Abingdon was the same thing. Most people lived in Abingdon. They owned property.
Mm-hmm.
And now, going about schooling, my father used to go to school here in Abingdon, too, but he went to a church. At that time, the blacks didn't have a school. So they used a church. And they went to school in the church. He went to school in the church. That was when he was a boy, when he's about 7 or 8 years old. And that church stayed there until my sisters, they went.
What church was that?
That's Abingdon, John Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
The church is still there now. It's the old church. And during that time, the preacher, the minister, was the teacher.
Oh.
And on Sundays he preached, and he had funerals, he preached for them.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time of a funeral, they'd have to move all the dust out of the church for the funeral, and after that they'd move them back.
Mm-hmm.
And both of my sisters went there. They went to the school in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I think in the 1920s, early 20s, a lady gave some people, they were men, a piece of property. They built a hall. It was supposed to be a true reformer, that's what they called it. It was a large, like. It was a two-story building. So finally, what happened, I think they moved out or the organization went up. Anyhow, they gave the bottom part of this hall to the blacks for a school.
Mm.
Well, in the meantime, from Abingdon Hill to Bush, that all belonged to a black. Belonged to a black lady. And she sold the property to this lodge to build this lodge. And after they broke up, and then they gave it to the blacks for school.
Mm-hmm.
So the school was it didn't come from the school board or board of education. All they did at that time, they would furnish us with coal, and we didn't get but so much coal. If you burn that coal out, we'd have to go out and sift the cinders out to make it last until the end of the school season. Well, at that time, school season ended at the last of May. So I went there. I started school there in 1922. And I went to the 7th grade there. And to the 6th grade in the hall. And then finally, another gentleman moved here. His name was Braxton. He owned about 300 acres of land back of the old school. So I think he gave them a place to build a new school. Then the school board paid for that. The Board of Education paid for that. That was a school.
After he donated the land?
That's right.
And they built the building?
They built the building. The school board, the Board of Education built it.
Mm-hmm.
The county built it. And that's good. Now I went to school in there 2 years. Time. Then after that, I left and I went to school in Baltimore. I attended vocational school, junior high, and high school in Baltimore. But at that time, now all our books, when we were going to school in that hall, we didn't get new books. All our books was handed down. They came from the school up here in Avenue. It was a white school in Avenue in back of the old Davis Garage. And when we'd get our books, that's why we stayed so far behind the whites, because when they got through with the books, they would send them down to us, and then we would use them. And that went on for clean up until the late 20s. Then we started getting books direct from school board. And at that time, in Abingdon here, they had two schools. They had a white school and a black school. Van Bibber, they had a white school. Edgewood, they had a white school. And Magnolia, they had a black school. But at that time, they had a high school down here in Van Bibber, a place called Van Bibber, Old Post Road, I guess you heard of.
Yes.
Well, it was a lot of blacks lived there, but still they couldn't go to school there. They had to come to this one particular school. And they'd walk. And where Old Post Road School is today, they were just about 100 foot. They lived about 100 foot from that school, but they couldn't go to that school. Mm-hmm. They had to walk. It's about 2 miles from here to Van Bibber, up here to this school. Then we had children coming from out to Cresswell. They walked. That was about 4 miles from here. Mm-hmm. They passed schools which were white, mm-hmm. but they couldn't go there. And at that time, the schools, they were elementary schools, and one teacher taught. Mm-hmm. And she taught from the first to the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that's one reason today why I learned more than I did after I got in junior high, because at that time, she had from the first grade to the seventh grade. She had to teach all them within a day. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because some kids were small and some of them was easy to learn, some of them. But when I was in the first grade, what my teacher used to do, she would come along and give all the first graders their lessons. Mm-hmm. We had to sit there all the rest of the day. We couldn't move. And we couldn't talk. And we had blackboards all around. Then she'd go to the second grade. Mm-hmm. Well, most of the time, when she left us, she'd give us some coloring or something to do, you know, to keep us occupied. Mm-hmm. And I had the blackboard up there, and she'd be teaching second and third grade. Well, we learned a lot from that, because mm-hmm. we'd hear the other children answer questions, and they would know it. And lots of times, we'd know as much as they were just by looking, mm-hmm. because that's all we had to do that day, to look. We couldn't get up and play. And the room, how many children did they have in that room?
About
35 children. That's a lot from the first to the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And that's how I learned a lot, because and then I could watch what they put on the board and different problems and idea the other children work them out, and I could, you know, I learned a lot that way. Mm-hmm. And then when I came home, I was the second youngest one, see, and all my sisters and brothers, they were older than I, and they were a different class, mm-hmm. and they would teach me a lot. They taught me a lot after I got home. Mm-hmm. I'd read their books. Mm-hmm. But at that time, when I first started school, this Route 7, which you crossed up here,
yes.
that was a dirt road. Mm-hmm. And when you crossed Bynum's Run, it wasn't no bridge. You drove through the water, with horse and buggies, because it wasn't any other. There was very few cars during that time. And I think that was I started school in 1922. And that was about 1926, 27, mm-hmm. when cars, you know, kind of like popped.
So you lived pretty close to the school, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was just about 3 blocks from the school mm-hmm. and the church. So I was lucky we didn't have to get up so early in the morning. But at that time, now when we went to school that time in the morning, if the fire was out, we'd have to make it. Now, on weekends, we'd have to let the fire go out because we were scared we would fire something would happen. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to get up on Sunday nights or early Monday mornings and go down in the woods and cut wood and make a fire.
It was cold in there on Monday, wasn't it?
We didn't. And during that time, we didn't have, in the hall there, we didn't have electric lights. Mm-hmm. We had lamps. Mm-hmm. Then we had those gas lights, like, run by gasoline.
Mm-hmm. How long was the school year? You said you ended in May.
It started in September.
When did it
stop?
Stopped in
April. No, it stopped. When I was going, it stopped the 30th of May. 31st of May, because on Decoration Day, that's when we had we used to wrap the maypole and all that. And then the next day, the school closed. Oh, during that same time, once a year, we would have our athletic meet. But that was for black only. And that was in Bel Air, where the old high school in Bel Air is. And all the schools in Harford County would come together. And that's where we would have a field. They call it Fields Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd win medals and everything, but we couldn't participate with the whites. They had their own, the blacks had theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And after that schools went on, single schools like that, until the first black high school we had was Happy Grace. Happy Grace had a high school, and Bel Air had one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you graduated from elementary school here, you have to find a way to get to that school.
Mm.
Or the nearest school now. In my case, where I was lucky, my whole family was lucky, because my father at that time was working on a railroad. He had been on there then about 30 years.
Mm.
And for us, the closest school was Harvard Grace, but we couldn't catch a train to get there on time. But we could go to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So we had passes. He'd get free passes for us. And all of us done our schooling with that. My sisters, little brothers, and everybody. Didn't cost us a cent. But we'd have to walk a mile from over here to catch a train in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd come out through the woods, and we'd catch a train. And that's where most of us finished school in Baltimore. That's about 30 miles from here.
Mm-hmm. And what school was it in Baltimore?
Douglas High. I went to Cullman Vocational. Sisters, they went to Douglas High, and they went to normal school.
Mm. Oh.
That's when I graduated from vocational school.
Oh, I have to get a picture of this.
That was in 1932. That was during the Depression.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
That's what I got from the governor of the state of Maryland.
Hmm. Oh, for World War II. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was at it.
So, State of Maryland, Executive Department, Annapolis, Certificate of Appreciation to T4 Ellsworth Lindsay Lee, USA. By virtue of authority vested in me by Chapter 277 of the 1945 session of the General Assembly, I, Governor Herbert R. O'Connor, hereby present the certificate as an official recognition of gratitude from the people of Maryland for the service rendered by you in the armed forces of the United States during World War II. Mere words are inadequate to express fully the deep appreciation of our people for your contribution to the defense of America. Be assured, however, that the people of Maryland fully recognize your patriotism and are deeply indebted to you for your unselfish service. That is wonderful.
This is my draft card. That would got me in trouble.
Reading. I always heard about
Franklin
that.
D. Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
He was a president. By the way, when I was born, you know who the president of the United States was then?
Who was that?
Woodrow Wilson.
Oh.
I've seen a lot of them come and go.
Yeah.
This is my discharge.
Mm-hmm. Honorable discharge. Company A, technician, fourth grade. This was a black company.
Yes, it wasn't a white thing. Black. We couldn't. It was all black. All our non-coms were.
Integration.
None. In fact, in 1940, it was something rare to see a black guy in a uniform around here in Maryland.
Yeah.
There wasn't any. The only thing they had around here was CCs. It wasn't a black guy.
What's a CC?
That's a that there was something like the, it was a camp, the government, it was made up by the government there to give young people work, you know.
Oh.
But when I went in the Army, all my non-coms were white, wasn't no black, and we was in a black outfit. It wasn't no like it is now. We didn't have no white guys, and we couldn't get in there.
Where were you stationed?
I was stationed in Tucson, Arizona. I wasn't in this country too long.
No.
I was only there 6 months. I stayed overseas almost four years. So this is all right now. These are places, sir. This is
where you served?
Uh-huh. What I did, I was a non-commissioned officer.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. You're engineer, carpenter, and a supply non-commissioned officer. Mm-hmm. Oh, you went from private to Tech 4 to sergeant. Mm-hmm. And as a supply non-commissioned officer, requisitioned and issued clothing and equipment, was responsible for keeping and preparing of the property book and certain other forms and records. Handled company laundry, salvage, and heavy equipment. Served with the 1873rd Engineer Aviation Battalion in New Guinea, Okinawa, and...
Aishima, is it?
Yes.
Aishima.
Oh, very good. I'll have to get pictures of these.
This is... It's so old, it's raggedy on this side.
You had two dependents? Was your children?
No, it was my wife and mother.
Oh, wife and mother. They spelled Hartford wrong.
Big wife?
They put a T in Hartford.
Yeah, I probably so.
Fixed it later. So how was New Guinea?
It wasn't.
How was it?
Nothing but jungles. Nothing but jungles. We had to take medicine every day, every day. We didn't get disease, different diseases. It never got under 95 degrees there. Mm-hmm. And when we first went there, we went to Orange Stanley Mountains. I guess you heard tell us I'm having it.
Mm-hmm.
In Port Moresby.
Nobody heard that.
I know.
In fact, when we crossed, now this is when I crossed the international date line.
Oh.
And this is across the equator.
Oh, yeah, a lot of souvenirs. Who gave you these?
They give me that chrono when we come back on the ship.
Oh.
See, we took us 20. See, when I left here, we left from California, Camp Stoneman, Oakland, and we went to Australia. Mm. But it took us 27 days on ship. Get to Australia, and then we left Australia and went to New Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, just as we, just a week before we crossed the Sea Run of the Pacific, and a week before we crossed the Coral Sea, that's where the battleship Lexington had that big battle. I guess you've read about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about seven of our ships got sunk, huh?
You're talking to a child.
Yeah. And we crossed over there just about a week after that. They had that big battle in the Pacific, the Japanese and American.
Mm-hmm.
They sank a lot of ships. They sank the Lexington. They sank the, they sank about seven ships, three battleships.
Don't forget to tell about your love
life.
Overseas.
In fact, I got wounded over there after I got over there.
In your love life? You got wounded.
And all our officers was white. We didn't have no... They had black. Our chaplain was black, but other than that, all of them were white.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed over almost 4 years. I stayed on one island. I stayed on Okinawa. I know you heard of Okinawa.
Yes.
I stayed there about 13 months, and the rest I was in New Guinea, in Aishima.
Hmm. So when you came back, you decided to go back to the railroad?
Yeah. Well, I was working on the railroad before I went.
Mm.
And I come back. I went back to the railroad, which was in 1946.
How old were you when you started on the railroad?
When I started on the railroad, I was 15 years old. Mm. But at that time, I worked on the railroad and went to school too.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summertime, I would work. And if you was a good worker out there, they'd furlough you and let you go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back after school closed, and that you helped your seniority.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had, when I left out there, I had 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't 65. In fact, I just 65 last week before that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But during that time, you could go out there when you was young.
Mm-hmm.
And if you was a good worker, they wouldn't fire you.
Yeah.
I put 41 years.
Did you work on the tracks, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was foreman out there once. And
but
I worked on the tracks.
When you started, you just did the painting and cleaning around.
I was water boy because I was too small to do anything else. So I was water boy. And then after I got older and bigger, then we worked on the tracks. And it was hard work, too. Everything you done by hand.
Mm-hmm.
There was no machinery. And that time, a black man couldn't get nothing. He couldn't be. Over on the V&O, they did have black foremen over there. That was in 1917, 18 when I was a kid. But Pennsylvania Railroad never did have none until the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left there, the only thing they got from all that work was I got a lifetime pass. I can go any place in the United States on the railroad.
That's
Amtrak.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on a pension. I got a pension, but still. Now it's different out there. Now the guys out there now is working, they just labor, they get $10 an hour,
mm-hmm.
they work 8 hours, they get paid, they get 5 weeks vacation, they get the birthday off, paid
mm-hmm.
for it. And everything's machinery now.
Yeah.
Dummies can't work out there now, you got to know what to do when you go out there now. One time, that's what the railroad was for, hard work.
Mm-hmm.
They would never show you nothing, and you didn't know nothing. But now, they don't take no dumb people out there now because you can mess up quick out there. Now everything's a computer and everything. I mean, you push one button, you upset a dozen trains.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got nothing. I have passed now.
He told you went to school.
The whole family went to school.
Right.
And it cost us a cent. We was going
everybody
from here to Baltimore.
Everybody thought we were rich kids. Because they ride a train all the way from Maryland to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on
the
pass.
Do you travel on your pass?
Not since I've been off. Oh, since I've been off. See, I came off in 1967.
Mm. You should use it.
I used it. Then I went to Montreal. Where else did I go?
Always had a car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what part of Connecticut are you from?
Oh.
New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
New York, New Haven train.
Yes.
In fact, Pennsylvania trains would come clean too.
Mm-hmm.
We go clean to Boston. We went to back, yep. What's the name? Back Bay Station there.
That's
in
how I
Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. You go through Berlin.
Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut. Go to Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
New Haven, Hartford, and something else. But we went clean to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know when it was established. When?
With John Wesley Church.
Mm-hmm. But before it was, I know this much, before it was a John Wesley Church, I know where the old cemetery was. There was an old cemetery down there near Bush. And there was a lot of blacks and Indians buried in there. And you know what I'm talking about on the hill there in the back? You know where Phil Crum and them went that time? And they saw something.
Ann Harris. But Lou Ann Harris.
The lady owned the place. She owned about 40 acres. Her name was Harriet Crumwell.
Mm.
She was black. And it was a cemetery down there.
She the lady who gave the land for the schools?
Yes, she was the one who gave the land.
But Mama and Papa were married in that church.
Yeah, they were married in that church. Church's been there a long time.
We were all christened with everybody.
Mm.
And I'm 100 years old,
so
that's been a long time.
Jeez, the oldest, how old
are
you?
215.
Come on, she's 75.
99. No.
She's 75, and he was... and when she
Helen would have been...
Oh, that's right. My older sister would have been about 77, 78
uh-huh.
years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was crippled. She was born crippled.
Mm.
And she could do more than we could.
Mm.
But if my father was living today, He would be 104 years old. Hmm. My mother would be 102.
Mm-hmm. How many children were there?
All together, it was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you count Edward?
Yeah, that's what I was counting. It was James, Lawrence, Ellsworth, and Edward. Mm-hmm. Hattie, Catherine, and Helen, 7.
Mm-hmm.
My youngest brother is dead. He got killed in the train.
Hmm.
On the railroad.
Working on the railroad?
Well, all of us worked on the railroad.
Yeah. They didn't know anything else but railroad. They graduated from school for one thing and went on the railroad.
Yeah, you went to vocational school. What did you take up? Yeah.
Carpenter.
And he's a wonderful carpenter.
Hmm.
Come out and couldn't, at that time, you couldn't get a job carpenter.
That's right.
Not no black guy.
Hmm.
See, I finished a 2-year course.
Mm-hmm.
He and his brother went to school at the same time. And he went for carpenter. His brother went mechanic. He turned out to be mechanic.
Oh, the mechanic and the carpenter.
Mechanic and the carpenter.
Hmm.
But they went wrong on the railroad. And Lawrence turned out for the ladies. He was a ladies man.
That was his career.
No, railroad. He's just retired.
Lawrence on the railroad. He's retired too from the railroad.
Because they followed after in the footsteps.
Well, at that time, that was the only work around here.
Mm-hmm.
Farming.
Well, farming, you get about 10 cents an hour, and it was hard. You work all day, and we wouldn't make 50 cents. And you worked hard
then. But
then
50 cents went further, and $5 goes now, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the hours you put in.
There was long.
And then the farmers around here, they was, you know, they wanted everything they could get for nothing. And they'd work you to death.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the farmers had families, their families. Areas.
Right.
And I tell you another thing they used to do around here. They had a place back over here in the woods called, it's a lake. What caused it to be a lake, that's why they used to dig iron ore. And in the wintertime, they used to cut ice out there, and that's what most of the stores and things would get it stored. Now, I mean, the people, farmers would too. And they have an ice house, and they'd go out there and cut ice. Now, some of them they had the stores and everything. They didn't have no refrigerators. They didn't have no ice boxes. They didn't have electric. Even at the stores, they'd store it. They'd have ice houses. They'd build ice houses in the ground. And in the wintertime, they'd go out and cut ice and pack it in there and pack straw, and it would last all the summer. And most of the time, they'd go on the road, but they used to use ore banks out there. Called ore banks. That's why they used to dig iron ore. My great-grandfather, he worked in there. He got his leg broken there.
Mm.
And my understanding, what happened, all of a sudden they got down there so far, and all of a sudden water started coming in. They had horses and everything down in there. See, everything worked by horses. Now, when I first went on the railroad, everything they'd done was by horses. They cleaned ditches out and everything. And everybody had horses. There wasn't any cars. What few cars had, doctors had them, you know, well-to-do people.
Mm-hmm.
Up until around about 1916, then they started. But everything was done by horse.
Hmm.
By a bicycle.
Oh, you did?
And I bought everything, but I bought a car, I bought a home and everything. Still haven't got that bicycle yet. There's 41 years looking for it. But I never owned a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Never owned a horse.
No. Oh, recently I've had a racehorse. I mean,
You have a racehorse?
He was a racehorse one time. Ponies.
She just died last summer.
Just last year. My daughter.
Beautiful.
And then I had two of them I'd put in parade down in Joppa Town every year.
Hmm.
It was in parade.
His daughter, a pony, and bought his son a pony. And then when the girl got too big for the ponies, he bought her this horse.
Oh.
She rode and rode and rode and rode and rode.
She had him trained.
Hmm. So you have two children?
Me, yes. Mm-hmm. One of my daughters is in the Air Force.
Oh.
The other one just goes to high school, age one.
Mm-hmm. think they might work on the railroad in some capacity?
No, I don't think so.
No.
My daughter, she was in
Oh,
Hawaii.
No, no, she's wonderful. She's not her. Always very intelligent.
Oh.
Always has been.
She was in Hawaii 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved back to California.
No, not her. She's very
intelligent. She joined the Air Force. She's out in San Diego, not San Diego, San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I can't imagine Kibbe working.
No,
Kibbe. Kibbe's working
now?
No. I said I couldn't imagine him working on it.
No, they don't. I don't know, because the railroad, I mean, they...
Oh, now.
You
get the situation
see, they
now,
pay
yeah.
good money on
yeah.
the railroad.
Yeah.
These guys make $30,000-$35,000 a year out there,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And the lowest job out there, you get, I think, $9-$10 an hour, and they don't do nothing but ride around. They don't do no hard work.
Yeah,
but
Bishop's Sport Boys works on the railroad.
Yeah, those guys make good money on there. Make around about $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working, I didn't make that much my whole lifetime.
Mm-hmm. It might be an idea. So he's in high school?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
high school. What's the age group? County too.
What else?
We had a hospital. Only had one hospital here. Okay, that one hospital was Harvard Grace Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Blacks could only go on one floor.
Uh-huh.
It was three stories. Blacks was on one floor. Now, if it was crowded, if you went there, it was crowded. You still would have to sit out in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
But up second floor and third floor was whites.
Mm-hmm.
It had empty beds, but you could.
Did you have any black doctors?
At that time, no.
Mm-hmm.
We do now. We have, in the whole county, the whole Harford County, we only have two black doctors, right?
Doctors Jeff and Dr.
Stansbury.
And down in Jefferson.
No,
double.
I don't think so.
Yes, it is,
too. Dr. Jackson was black doctor in Jefferson.
They are Dallas, I don't know.
They Dallas, but I mean, Dr. I mean
McDonald's
medical doctor.
Yeah, McDonald's
but I'm talking about
Jefferson.
MD.
And Dennis down
you got
there.
Dennis down there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got one black one in Harvard Grace, that's Stansbury.
Yeah.
Then Dr. Spry is dentist.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only two we have.
Dr. Cowan used to
be. Yeah, but Dr. Cowan's in Washington now.
But it's big.
Now. When he was there, it was only still only one there.
He was the only
well,
one.
That
was years ago.
Dr. Stansbury used to work on a railroad. He worked on a railroad with me. I guess you've heard of Stansbury, haven't
you? Yes.
And his father, too. But at that time, it was a lot of black people died up there because they wasn't getting the service.
Mm.
And a lot of the machinery and stuff that they work on was up on the second floor. You couldn't go up there. You couldn't go to the first floor.
Even
that's
if
the
you
truth.
Were dying?
And they take you there. That's right. They have. They take you there. But first floor was crowded with blacks. They'd push you in the hall, and that's where you'd keep it. But yet, it was empty beds upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
They were for whites only. And that time, around here, they had white and black. I mean, lots of times they had bars, beer gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And restaurants. You couldn't go anywhere the whites.
On the trains, too?
Only what made it, why they smoothed it out, they wouldn't say blacks, they say colored.
Mm-hmm.
And lots
first.
Of times, this place right across here, they wouldn't allow black in there.
What's over there?
That's a bar. It was a restaurant.
Oh.
It's a restaurant bar. That hasn't been too terrible long ago. And what happened after that 1961 was the civil rights bill passed. And what happened? It was some heads of state from Africa. They were traveling from Washington to New York. That was after World War II. And they stopped there. And they denied them, they wouldn't serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the trouble started. Because you got heads of states in Africa saying, is President, they're the head of the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked black, and to them they were black people, that's all. They
mm-hmm.
didn't know they were head of states. And after they got to New York, then they called that to Washington. Got things straightened out. They stopped in there. They just testing them.
Well, see, after NAACP started working, that was the first thing they worked on. Taking those signs down.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what stopped it was Martin Luther King's one stopped that.
But the NAACP
wasn't doing too much.
Because
Ellsworth, they couldn't stop. I mean, they complained, but it wasn't too much they could do.
It wasn't, yeah. But
when they started having those Martin marches
King,
and things.
Before Martin Luther King, that's just recently. But down at the Greyhound bus terminal, 100 years when I started going there, they had everything was integrated, even the dining room. Colored people had to sit one place and white people the other. And
we rode on the buses, too.
And on the buses, too.
You had to go in the back.
Sit in the back. Well, after years and years later, then they opened it up and they had everybody sit in the dining.
The NAACP was mostly responsible.
They were, exactly. Miss Jackson and
when
all
was that
gang, they were them. That was long years before Martin Luther King.
When yeah. That was the bus station around here?
The Greyhound bus station.
Yeah, well, I remember across here, and it people here too, and they couldn't even get in there.
Well, that's true.
And this is what
we're not talking about every single solitary place. We're talking about how it started and
yes.
Started.
And the same guy that owned that place, I grew up with him. I used to play with him.
Right now,
but yet I couldn't go in and sit down and eat in his place.
Integrated right now, right in Baltimore City, there are places that are integrated. You can't go in a Huntington Street Club in Baltimore. You can't go in that club where Rose Johnson goes. That's not for color. You can't go out to Elk Ridge Club and play golf. You can't do that. That's you know, something. But I'm talking about the public places.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so it's every year, and every year it's been different. And we were just talking yesterday that it's really changed. First it started with the Greyhound, the drivers. You know, you never saw any colored drivers for the Greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
They got practically all colored drivers.
Mm-hmm.
They got colored ticket agents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been in the last year. Now they have a colored dispatchers. That seems like impossible. And I'll be doggone if they don't have colored girls driving the Greyhound bus.
Mm-hmm.
Now that just happened in the last couple weeks.
Oh,
so the Greyhound is practically colored.
But that's no question, then, because that's not nothing.
It is nothing, but how
it's natural. That's
about,
what they're supposed to do. I'm American. I was born here in America. You got guys come here. You got people been here 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and they can get more and do more than what you can.
I'm talking about how it's come along. You know how it's come along year after year after year after year.
That's what I used to teach my kids. There's no such thing as a Civil Rights Act. They had to pass a bill for me, and this is my native home. I was born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to make a special bill for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me to have my rights. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid. And I was born here, and the blacks have been here 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Italian, you got Jews and things that's come here. They got to pass a certain bill for me so I can go in a store somewhere to get something. I went overseas. It's like, well, it was almost as bad then when I come back from the Army. I'd been over in the Pacific for almost 4 years. And I come back here, I couldn't go in a store to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go around the back and they'd feed it to me out there. Had a little trap door back here. He'd raise the trap door and ring a bell and they'd be, that's the truth. But yet you're fighting for your country.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised in the guys that died. And that's why most blacks were in the Army, because they were treated so bad down south. And they figured, well, they go in the Army, they would make money, you know, they'd get money every month. And then they come back in, they couldn't even walk the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Just like right now, because it has. This hasn't started. They always been the Ku Klux Klan. They begin to get stronger and stronger now. Now you see them all in every state in the United States now,
mm-hmm.
and they're not trying to do too much about it.
No.
But things are a lot better now than they were.
Don't say that. And okay. He has two lovely children.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your daughter who has joined.
She told her.
Yeah,
she
she's in the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the Air Force.
Is she making it a career?
She don't know yet.
Is she just winning?
She called him last night. She's wonderful because she's in Hawaii, she called every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And when we went to Hawaii, we visited her.
Oh, but you didn't get there because you never found where she lived.
Well, she came to
Yeah, but you only had gone, so you never did get
there. No, I never saw her. But she came there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She's a wonderful child.
How old is she?
Huh?
How old is she?
How old is Debbie now?
Debbie's 22.
Oh. This is your scrapbook you made out of a wing of a shot down plane?
Out of a Jap Zero. Fighter plane.
Hmm.
And we cut this off and made a book out of it.
That's really interesting. I never saw anything like that.
I've been offered all kind of money for that book.
Hmm, I bet. Southwest Pacific, Australia, New Guinea. I don't know what this says.
Do you have any of those little letters, Ellsworth?
Oh, yeah, they are. There's some of them. Let me show you. This is a cross.
Mm-hmm.
I had it right down there. This is Victory Day, VE Day. In fact, while they dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki, I was only about 300 miles from there at that time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the letters that you had.
I know you've heard of this guy, Ernie Powell, that big news man. He had been over in New York, and he come over. That's where he got killed at.
Oh.
Now, remember now, she's only 25 years old.
All this is all. See, the kids took a lot. I used to let them take it to school. This is book so old, it's just falling to pieces.
Mm-hmm. This is really something.
This is all over the sea.
Mm-hmm.
This is in New Guinea. This is where we had an air raid. This is what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
The bombs, Jap bombs come over and see all these holes in there.
Mm-hmm.
They drop the daisy cutters.
And that's Hawaii.
That's right.
No, that's New Guinea.
New Guinea too.
Oh, that's New Guinea. Yes, there's a ship we landed on.
Mm-hmm.
See, this pulls right up to the dock. This door drops down, all your machinery. See, this is what we used to do. All this was machinery.
Would you like to have a cup of coffee or something cold to drink?
Something cold, thank you.
The ship.
Do you like cold?
This we had an air raid on top of this.
Oh, Coke would be fine.
This was in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. See, we was in the Philippines too.
You have to get some
kids
more pictures
of this.
Kids
to take it to school. They
I'm
took
sorry.
A lot of my chicks. I let them take it to school and people would turn out.
Mm.
Oh, this was in New Guinea. That's what New Guinea looks like. See these trees, coconut trees.
It looks hot. Mm-hmm. Is it you?
No, that's the boy in my outfit.
Sergeant Pena.
Now this was our chapel overseas over in the jungle. We built this ourselves. We built it out of boxes and things.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Did you mingle much with the natives?
Yeah, well we worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
We putting down air strips. There's some of the natives. Now that's just how they dress. Now the women, most of the women wore glass dresses. This guy
was
in my outfit.
Who's those from Howard?
This is a chaplain there.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He was
like
a chaplain.
Alabama brother.
No, that guy's from Alabama.
Hmm.
Everybody. Kids just tore it up. Mm-hmm. Tore this up. So many people. This is our chaplain there again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all even going overseas, leaving Florida, going overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Going to see if we come up on this train.
Where are you in that?
Now
line?
We're going over. I'm back here.
No.
Back here. That was Tuna Sergeant at that time. There's our chaplain. We built this. This is overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We built that. This was in New Guinea.
Mm.
This is in the chat. This is after have an air raid there. Construction thing.
So then you had to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm. This is when they signed the treaty.
Oh.
Japanese.
This is a really good scrapbook.
Mm-hmm. This is when Japanese, they stopped over in Aoshima, and they were going to Philippines to sign this treaty with John MacArthur.
Mm-hmm. And you were on Ishima when this was?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I saw your name in the Philippines.
In fact, I took all these pictures. Here's a Japanese plane. That's one of those Japanese Zeros. Oh, that's one of those bad planes.
Well, did you, you took all these pictures?
Yeah, uh-huh. I was a photographer at that time.
You still take?
No, I do. Now here's me. See. Here's me.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
See my name there.
Mm-hmm. Do you still take pictures?
No, I didn't.
These are really good.
I took most of those pictures. See all these now. These are our non-com. These are officers, but all white. The black one we had was a chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they get it. Mm-hmm. We used to build bridges and things. This is my picture. I just taken in Australia.
Mm-hmm. With your sergeants. That's when you were killing all the ladies, huh?
No, it wasn't the ladies over there. I was trying to get home. You remember when they come over? I guess you read it. When they went to sign this truce, Petey? Peace treaty. Well, this is what they were supposed to do. Paint these with crosses, red cross, so they wouldn't get shot down.
Mm-hmm.
That was a jest, because a jest would do anything. Lots of time we put our air base down at night, and they'd use it at night. We used the Americans used it in the daytime. That's what they were slick. All right.
Mm-hmm.
They would do anything.
I used my friends to write to Ellsworth, mm-hmm. and 6 or 7 girls. And Elsie would sit down
Some
of them
sent
to the wrong place.
No, put a carbon copy and just write them all the same thing.
They wouldn't know it. And write them all.
Same
and they come, all Elsewhere says, such and such. Well, he said the same thing to me. You know, Elsewhere said the same thing on every one of them.
Write them on carbon copy. Then.
Oh, no, too much.
Now, these are all natives. Mm-hmm. They were pretty good, though. They had more sense than a lot of the Americans did.
Did they help do the work?
Yeah, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't feed them. They climb a tree and get their feed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they ate. They ate coconuts and bananas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have those Honolulu women dancing in there?
This is all in there.
Oh, that's back there.
There's a Japanese dead. Mm-hmm. We found him one day. I was back on back. I said, you got killed if you can get him all cleaned up. This is in Leyte, excuse me. This is in Leyte, Gulf of Leyte in the Philippines.
You know, she mm-hmm. had to get back home.
Oh.
Thank you. I've got a few more minutes, but let me shut the tape off.